Hi, and welcome to Jolly Spring 2022 podcast series. This is Tuba, the poetry, fiction, and visual arts editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed open access journal housed in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at the University of Georgia. Today, I will be speaking with Dr. David Primont, who is a visiting assistant professor in English education at Purdue University. His manuscript is titled, I Couldn't Sleep, Tension in the Pre-Service Teacher Writing Instruction. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Primont, and I look forward to hearing more about your work.
Thank you, I'm honored.
So I'd like to start with a question about tension. Tension is a very recurring and important concept in your manuscript. So to give our readers a better idea before they read your study, what is tension with respect to your research, that is the one that the pre-service teachers in your research are experiencing? Could you please elaborate on that?
Yeah, so the tension that they're experiencing is all centered around their writing instructions. These pre-service teachers and I, we had many conversations about who they are as writers and what their preferences are, how they write personally, and I guess the significance of writing in their life. And so, you know, what they communicated with me is they want to take some of these practices that they've found personally meaningful in their own lives, and they want to implement some of those practices in the secondary classroom within the boundary of the state standards and the guidelines. But what they found while doing that was there was a lot of pushback in those instances. So for instance, there was pushback from what they expected or what they believed they were expected to do within their writing instruction. A lot of pre-service teachers, they wanted to have these activities that, like I said, were personally meaningful for them, but they found that they needed to do things that were more geared towards the end of state level tests, and that there is this conflict. Even one participant talked about, he doesn't even know where this pressure is coming from, but he just kind of feels it. And they also talked about how the students would challenge them in a sense that, you know, the practices that they were having them do, they either weren't accustomed to, or they just, you know, they didn't refuse to do it, but they definitely pushed back on what they were asked to do. And this is something that they also weren't expecting. And so when all of these experiences kind of collide, what they found was that there was much more tension in what they hoped to do and then what they were able to do in the secondary classroom.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Primont, for this insightful answer. Moving on to the second question. In your manuscript, you're talking about a message teacher educators often give to the pre-service teachers about the teaching profession. And you mentioned that this kind of practice is referred to as soft seduction. So what is this message and how is it problematic?
Yeah, well, this idea of soft seduction, one, I didn't coin it. This is something that's been around since the mid-90s. I believe it was Hargreaves and Jacka talked about this. And the basic premise of this is, as teacher educators, a lot of times we don't talk about the challenges that will inherently arise in the secondary classroom. Not to fault any one program or any one professor, I'm sure in the class that I teach that this is, you know, there as well. We talk about what the experiences that we want students to have to prepare themselves to become teachers. But so rarely in those experiences do we talk about the challenges that they may face as teachers and then what they can do to navigate around those tensions. And so, you know, what we find is that many of these pre-service teachers, when they hit this tension, they don't know what to do. They never experienced it before. They weren't prepared to experience it. And so they don't know that, you know, these can actually lead to moments of growth. And so I think the possibility and idea is to address, you know, you likely will experience tension. And the research has suggested that this will most likely happen within the first few years of teaching. And we all know how critical those first few years are. And so helping pre-service teachers understand, you know, what their options are. And it's impossible to identify any all possible scenarios of tension. But just to talk about possibilities to navigate, resources they can go to. I think that's something that's really helpful.
Thank you, Dr. Primont. The theoretical framework you utilize in the study is narrative inquiry. Could you talk to us more about it? Like, what is it and In what ways is it helpful for your study? And how can education researchers make use of it?
Yeah, so depending on who you talk to, narrative inquiry might be a conventional or an unconventional approach to research. But the basic premise of this is, you know, to quote a few different scholars, is researching is storied research, or giving voice to the voiceless. And so in this experience, what we specifically look for, what I specifically look for as a narrative inquirer, was the lived experiences or the experiences that these pre-service teachers, that they embody. And so when we go about this, we look for specific stories that they have. And so when I was doing all these interviews and analyzing the interviews with the participants in this study, I specifically looked for the stories that they shared within their experiences as secondary writing instructors. And through those experiences, we can learn more about who they are and who they hope to become, which I think is also another really important component of narrative.
I'd like to ask another question about the theoretical framework and methodology of your study. In your manuscript, you say that you are utilizing a constructivist lens. Similar to my previous question, what is this constructivist framework and how does it inform your research?
Yeah, that's a great question. This framework has informed essentially all of my research and something that I've gravitated to essentially since I began learning about various paradigms. And so essentially when we're thinking about this idea of a constructivist framework, what we're really thinking about is how individuals learn and make meaning and how they link that new knowledge to existing understanding. So for instance, the topic of my study actually wasn't anything about tensions. Instead, I was specifically looking for how the identity of these pre-service teachers, how that informed their pedagogy. And what I found through all of this was that in the middle of looking and identifying for how identity informed pedagogy, I also found a lot of tension within that. And so I linked what I currently had with this understanding of identity and pedagogy, and the connection therein, to this new knowledge that was all of a sudden emerging with this idea of tension. And so when you think about a constructivist framework, what we're doing is we're building up from our current understanding to new understandings. And I think Prati says it the best when he says, you know, the constructivist lens points up to the unique experiences of each of us. And when you think about, you know, the unique experiences that we each have as a storied component of the research, narrative inquiry and the constructivist framework goes hand in hand with that component of that.
Dr. Premont, my final question. So the two pre-service teachers in your study go through specific tensions in their teaching experience, which our readers will read more about in the manuscript. And you're giving us some insights about how to navigate these tensions. Your recommendations are both geared towards such pre-service teachers and teacher educators. Can you tell us more about what can be done to help pre-service teachers navigate such tensions?
Yeah, I would say there are two kind of main things I want to focus on with this. The first one is this idea of understanding who you are in this context as a writer. And so in the course that I teach, in the writing methods course specifically, I invite students to unpack who they believe they are as writers throughout an entire semester. And so we do various writing projects. And then after each one of those different projects, I invite them to reflect on what they learned and how this changes who they believe they are as writers through this experience. And so I think having a good understanding of who you are as a writer and the options and the possibilities presented within writing, we know that writing's not linear. It's messy. It has to be messy. Identity construction is the same way. I think Janet also kind of said it best, and this is kind of what I've gravitated towards when I do my research with identities. Identity is messy, and it has to be messy. If it weren't messy, then I don't think this construction is done sufficiently. But I think understanding the concept of who am I as a writer, and then what are the expectations of writing in the classroom, and having those merge, that merging is something that Janet also calls borderland discourse, where we're taking a little bit of our personal identity as writers, and we're taking a little bit of that professional identity as writers, and we're merging the two. And ultimately, we might lose a little bit from each side, But what emerges is a stronger and more capable writing instructor for a secondary classroom. So that's the first thing that I would recommend. That's something that pre-service teachers can do with teacher educators. Or you can simply sit down and think about your philosophy as a writer and a writing instructor and nurse those two as well. And the second thing that I want to talk about, and this is something that a colleague and scholar, a friend of mine, Mandy Dunn, kind of referenced me towards, is an article that she co-authored. But knowing that pre-service teachers or any teacher, they have options in the narratives that the students present in my research, they didn't know what to do when they're faced with this tension. They thought they only had essentially two options. I can either do what's expected of me or I cannot do what's expected of me. I don't think they were able to really sit down and decide, okay, so I have option A, which I could do, something like this. I have option B, which I could do something like this. I have option C, which I could do something like this, or option D, and so on down the line. It's seen as an either or scenario, and that's for some reasons only seen as that. Where in reality, I think if we just take a step back and really consider, what are the options presented to us that we can navigate around this, I think that's another really important component of that. And where do you go for that? As a pre-service teacher, you have peers who may or may not have experienced similar situations. Teacher educators, your professors on campus. You have the classroom teachers in the school, whether you're student teaching in the context of the pre-service teacher or whether you're a full-time teacher. We have lots of professional resources, such as NCTE and all its various journals around it. But understanding and knowing that we do have options, it's not an either-or scenario, I think is a really big takeaway from this manuscript.
Dr. Pyrmont, thank you so much for speaking with me today. Listeners, to read this manuscript, please check out Jolly's 2022 issue to be published in May. Thank you.
Thank you.